Good morning, everyone. This is Sunday, February the 7th. Glad to have you in service here this morning, at least listening by way of the internet. This is Lockdown Sunday number 7, and we are trusting that it will be the last Lockdown Sunday that we will have at this time. Looking forward to being together next Sunday. So I trust that you are in the mindset and the heart purposed to worship the Lord this morning, and I trust we'll be able to do that acceptably to the Lord from wherever we are listening to the service. I'm going to begin with a hymn. The hymn is Trust and Obey, and it's going to be sung by the Vagel Brothers. It's a nice presentation. You can feel free to sing along with them if you like as we begin the service, Trust and Obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. What we never can prove, the delights of His love, until all on the altar we joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy but to trust and obey.
Thank you. That's good singing this morning. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow in Your presence this morning. We are thankful to You for all that You do on our behalf to keep us safe, to keep us healthy, to keep us strong, and to keep us walking in faith with You day by day. And while it has been a difficult time to be apart from each other these last number of weeks, we do thank You that accordingly the emergency measures should be finished Tuesday and then Thursday, and that we should be able to be back together again. We trust that that may happen, and we'll look forward to that good time of fellowship that we can have once again. We commit to You ourselves and each one who's a part of Berean Baptist in these days. And trust, Lord, that you would help us to be faithful to you and to walk carefully with you in these days. And thank you for your provisions for us, not only individually, but as a church family as well. And your provisions in every respect are just amazing, and we thank you for them. Our missionaries for this month are Manuel and Ellen de Souza and Vitoriana down in Brazil. We want to pray for them this morning and ask that you would be mindful of them. Thank you for how you have provided for them over these many years that they've been serving you down in Brazil. We do pray for the opportunities that Manuel has to share the gospel with truckers, in church services that he is able to preach at. For Ellen, as she homeschools Vitoriana, and then as they try and have the kids club meetings when they are able to do that. We just pray that you would just in every respect bless them. We thank you for providing for them financially, and even though it's a very small amount, we thank you for helping them to stretch those dollars and to make things comfortable for them and able to take care of their needs. And so we ask that you would bless them and continue to watch over them in these days. We pray for all of our missionaries and ask, Lord, that you would be very close to them, grant fruit for their labor, keep them close to one another, close to them. We pray you'll keep them from accident, from harm, and from any of the virus as well. We also want to pray for Maria, as far as we know, still in Parkwood Hospital. Haven't heard anything different, and so we commit her to your care and keeping as well, and ask, Lord, that you would do that which is your will to do in her life while she is there. Our heart's desire is that you would raise her up to good health and strength once again, but we know that your purposes are perhaps different than what our heart's desire is, and so we ask that you would be very close to her and help her through these days. We do pray for all of our senior folks, especially in this colder weather, that you would keep each one safe and free from falls, and if outdoors, free from getting sick. We just commit each one to your care and to your keeping. Thank you so much for our church, this building, the people who are part of Berean, and we just appreciate so much that we can have this together, and trust, Lord, that what we do, what we say, is always pleasing in thy sight. Bless in the next little bit that we have for the service this morning. Undertake in all of it, and we ask these things in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, we looked at the first 10 verses last time, and for our scripture reading this morning, we're going to read from verse 11 down to the end of the chapter, and we'll talk a little bit about it in just a few moments. So Daniel chapter 6, beginning in verse 11, we read this: "Then these men," the men who were accusing Daniel of breaking the king's decree, "these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. 'Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' The king answered and said, 'The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not.' Then answered they and said before the king, 'That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day.' And then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, 'Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. And then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And then the king went to his palace, and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. And then the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. And so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And we'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Announcements are in the bulletin, and the bulletin is posted on the church website. You can read it there for things that are coming up, for birthdays and anniversaries, and a few other bits of information that you may want to know. And we'll just direct you to the bulletin there on the church website. Secondly, as far as we can tell, things are going to reopen sometime this week. Premier Ford is expected to make an announcement either tomorrow or Tuesday as to what reopening is going to look like. Now, I suspect that if, and some news reports that I've read said that they probably will go back to the color code system once again. So anything from yellow up to red will be good for us, because even in those color codes, churches, worship services are allowed 30% of the posted attendance or the posted numbers, which gives us opportunity to have 52.5 people in church. And so that's more than what we usually have. If all of that holds true, and we'll have to see when Premier Ford makes his announcement, if all of that holds true, then we will get back to services next Sunday, February the 14th, and with the full complement, Sunday Bible school morning and evening services. And we just say to you that if you feel comfortable in coming back at this point in time, if we're able to, then we certainly would love to see you here and be in fellowship and worship together. If you're not comfortable in getting out or back yet, then you do what you believe the Lord would have you to do, and we'll wait on you patiently for seeing you again here in our services. The annual meeting still will need to determine what date we'll have. I think probably a couple of weeks after we get together, just so that we can get the annual report into your hands. You can digest a few things, and our committees have a little bit more work to do in preparation for it. So stay tuned for when we are able to have that, hopefully before the end of February, and we'll be able to carry on that way. If there's any questions, comments, anything that you want to pass our way about church, the services, anything in the bulletin, please let us know. Either give me a call or email, message me if you like, and we'll try and help you with some of those concerns that you may have. That's all that we'll mention by way of announcement, and just to say thank you for your tithes and offerings. They're continuing to come in all manners through e-transfers, mail, and we haven't had anyone drop in the last few Fridays just because the weather's been so bad. And so we understand that, and hopefully we'll be able to take care of all of that come this next Sunday. We have some special music again for this morning. Just a nice presentation of the hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Kind of sense a theme here this morning about trusting the Lord, which is exactly the example that Daniel set for us in his situation in Daniel 6. So please enjoy listening to 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved You more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved You more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so
glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him more.
Now, thank you very much for that good song. Let's take our Bibles now and turn back to Daniel chapter 6. We looked at the first part of this chapter last time, in which we noted a number of points. Let me just remind you and summarize for you. Number one, Daniel was set as one of the three presidents in the Medo-Persian Empire. Darius was the king in those days. Daniel, we figure, was probably a little over 80 years old at this point in time. Other kingdom leaders, presidents and princes, they're called, were jealous of Daniel and his position under the king. And so they sought to get rid of him by devious means. They quickly realized the only fault they would ever find in Daniel was in connection with the law of his God. In other words, his religious activities, particularly his prayer life. Number three, the treacherous plot was to manipulate the king into signing a devious decree that they had made up. That decree is recorded in verse 7, which says, "All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." That was the decree they made and presented to the king. And we know that the king signed the decree. Number four, when Daniel knew that the writing had been signed, he went home. He kneeled in front of his window, open towards Jerusalem, and as he did three times a day, for I believe his whole life, he prayed and gave thanks before his God, that would be Jehovah God. And number five, we noted last time that Daniel was by himself. He was doing what it was his custom to do, praying to the Lord God. He wasn't causing any kind of trouble. He was simply obeying God and not man. He also knew the consequences for praying to his God, that being to be cast into the den of lions. Obviously, Daniel was prepared to face that consequence. Leon Wood, in his commentary, makes this statement: "The reason for the clear statement as to where he prayed is to say that he did not change, but prayed where he was accustomed to pray. The existence of a continued testimony was more important than the existence of his life." And that's an excellent insight and good comment to be made. So now this morning, we want to pick up the rest of the story. It's very familiar to you, I am sure. We've already read through the chapter or through the verses. And so I will just simply invite you to scan over the verses again as we go through them in order. So first of all, note, the plot succeeds. Verses 11 to 13. The plot succeeds. And you can read over those verses once again. The men who were out to get Daniel had assembled together and found Daniel praying before his God. And they immediately went to the king to tell him. Here's what they said. That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Obviously, Daniel's petition was not to the king Darius, but to his own God, Jehovah. Can you hear the scorn and perhaps even the satisfaction in their voices? That Daniel, they say to the king. My, how they must have enjoyed tattling on Daniel to the king. I'm sure they were absolutely beside themselves imagining Daniel being torn by the lions in the den to which he would certainly be cast. So the plot succeeds. Number two, note the displeasure of the king. The displeasure of the king in verses 14 to 15. We're told in these verses that when Darius heard the statement and the saying from the detractors of Daniel, that he was sore displeased with himself. That's an interesting statement. Why? Why was he displeased with himself? Well, the obvious answer must be because he realized he had been duped by his presidents and princes and the governors and all the others into signing the decree about prayer. Perhaps his pride and his ego took control of his senses when they presented that decree, and he signed it, not really realizing what impact it would have in a person's life like Daniel. And so he was displeased with himself. I like that about Darius the king. Displeased with himself. It would be nice if some of our leaders would have such a humble attitude concerning some of the decrees they make. And not be so pleased with themselves, but maybe rather humbled a little bit. Notice that Darius set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He actually labored in his attempt to deliver Daniel until the going down of the sun. It would appear that the assembly to inform the king against Daniel was made sometime in the day. Was it when Daniel was praying in the morning that they saw him and realized what he was doing? Or maybe when he was praying at noon? Whatever time of day it was, Daniel spent the remaining hours of daylight trying to deliver Daniel. It must have been a most interesting legislative meeting going on at that point as the king tried to rescue Daniel from the lion's den. Good for Darius, we say. Good for Darius. And it must have been a blessing to Daniel as well to know that the king stuck up for him in the face of these jealous presidents and princes and all the others who wanted nothing but Daniel's destruction. This perhaps shows that Daniel was favored by the king, probably because of his faithful service to the kingdom, Daniel's integrity and his faultless work ethic were things that were notable to the king and which he admired and sought to make Daniel even head over the three presidents and head over the whole company, kingdom, if you look back at the beginning of the chapter. I like Darius for this attempt to free Daniel because Daniel never did anything against the king or against the kingdom. He was faithful in all of his duties, his administrative duties, to the Persian king. But alas, alas, the presidents and princes reminded the king about the decree he signed, which could not be changed, even by the king himself. The trap was sprung, the victim was caught, and now the only thing left was to throw Daniel into the lion's den. But we're not told here in these verses what Daniel's response to all of this. I don't expect he went kicking and screaming into the den. I expect that he was absolutely calm, resting in the Lord, trusting in him for whatever the Lord willed for him at that point in time. And probably very calmly walked there to the den under escort and lowered himself down into the den. Number three, let's look at Daniel in the lion's den. This is from verse 16 all the way down to verse 23. And once again, you can scan over those verses once again to remind yourself about them. Daniel in the lion's den, verse 16 to 23. King Darius commanded to bring Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. He had to do it, even though he didn't want to do it. He had to do it. It is interesting what Darius said to Daniel as Daniel was being put into the den of lions. He said, and I don't know, maybe he kind of whispered this in Daniel's ear as he's being put down into the den. He said, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." That's an interesting statement for the king to give to Daniel. It would appear that the king understood that Daniel served Jehovah God continually, but that didn't take away or subvert Daniel's service to the king or to the Persian Empire, or to the quality of his service to the king. In fact, Daniel's service to his God made Daniel a better servant for the kingdom of Persia. Now that's an interesting thought, isn't it? Along with that profound statement, the king adds, "He will deliver thee." The thing which the king could not do, he was assured that Daniel's God would. And so, I like Darius. He's a good king and likes to look after his people. Governments today are trying to get rid of Christians and any Christian influence, saying Christians are a menace to society. And yet Christians are truly the ones to serve our countries by our prayers, by our vote, by voicing our concerns through our elected officials, by obeying the laws of the land. May God help us to continue to serve our God by being good and faithful citizens to the country in which we live. Well, Daniel was cast into the den of lions. And we read in the text that the king went to his palace and he passed the night fasting. He didn't sleep. He didn't want any soothing music to calm his mind and his soul. He had a restless night, obviously concerned about Daniel. And then we read that early in the morning, around dawn, the king made haste back to the den of lions, hoping against hope, it would seem, that Daniel's God had delivered him from the lions. Coming to the lion's den, the king cried with a lamentable voice, we read. The word lamentable is the Hebrew word hatsab, which means to be in pain, to grieve, to be afflicted. Consider the king's cry in verse 20. "Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" And then there was perhaps that awkward silence, waiting to hear anything coming from the lion's den. I don't know if the king was expecting to hear anything from the lion's den, but out of that den came a voice that answered him. That voice was Daniel's. He said in verse 21 and 22, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Notice a couple of things here. Number one, Daniel was respectful of the king. He said, O king, live forever. This was a typical expression of honor and respect shown by people to the king. He didn't disrespect Darius at all in any way. Remember what the presidents and the princes said of Daniel in verse 13? Among the things that they accused Daniel of, they said this, that Daniel regardeth not thee, O king. That was a bold-faced lie. They made that up, hoping to bolster their accusation against Daniel. And the reality was, Daniel had great respect for Darius. The others really did not have respect. That was evidenced by their manipulation of the king to sign the decree they made up to get rid of Daniel. Who really was disrespecting the king? Certainly wasn't Daniel. He had great respect for Darius. Number two, notice, Daniel gave all the glory to God for his safety. He said, My God sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. My God sent his angels and shut the lions' mouths, he said. He gave all the glory to God for his safety. Obviously, a miracle had taken place to keep Daniel from being killed by the lions. Just have to acknowledge that we have a wonderful and a powerful God that looks out for us and looks over us. And for Daniel, he rescued him and delivered him from death, from the lions. And praise God for that. What a wonderful and powerful God we have. God who is interested in the things of this world, in our lives, as believers in him. Do you remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to Nebuchadnezzar back in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17? They were facing a burning fiery furnace for not having bowed down to the golden image that the king set up. In this case, Nebuchadnezzar was angry at them. And in comparison to Darius, who was angry with himself, Nebuchadnezzar was angry with them. They said to the king at that point, If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. And of course, we know the story. God did deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. And here with Daniel, God once again delivered his servant from death by lion. I wonder if the angel of the Lord that was there in the lion's den to shut the mouths of those lions was the same one that was the fourth man in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Very probably the same person, and we believe that that would have been a pre-incarnate presence of the Lord Jesus himself with his servants. So here with Daniel, God delivered his servant from death by lion. God is able to do that. And for Daniel, he shut the mouths of the lions so they did not hurt Daniel. And number three, Daniel's final statement is, For as much as before him, that is his God, as much as before him, that's God, Jehovah God, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel wasn't being disrespectful to the king. He was innocent of all charges the others put against him. And praise the Lord, God honored Daniel's faithfulness and service, not only to Jehovah God himself, but also to Darius as king of the Medes. wasn't being disrespectful. Praise the Lord that we have this account in our Bibles that we can read and learn from Daniel, from Darius, from the whole situation as a great example for us in the days in which we live. Do you think Daniel was fearful to enter the lion's den? I don't think he was. His faith was strong. His trust in the Lord God was rock solid. Here's maybe a few verses that would help us in the face of maybe some fearful situations that might come along to us in the days ahead. In Psalm 56, verse 3, David says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." A good place to put our trust and to alleviate our fears, to trust in the Lord. Psalm 56, verse 11, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." We need not fear men who can only kill the body but not the soul. Scripture says that we need to fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. There's where true fear is, respect and reverence of Almighty God. And so we put our trust in him. Don't be afraid of what man could do to us. And then lastly, these are three verses where trust and fear are together. In Isaiah 12, verse 2, Isaiah says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." So keep your trust in the Lord. As Isaiah says that the Lord God Jehovah is my strength and my song, make sure your song is that which is in the Lord. And you will find that your fears will diminish and the Lord will be able to help you in all of that. Trust in the Lord. Don't be afraid. Number four in our outline of the chapter, Daniel 6, Daniel's release and his attackers destroyed. That's verse 23 and 24. In verse 23, we read, "Then was the king exceeding glad for him," that's for Daniel, "and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. And so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him." Why? Because he believed in his God. Right. So there is the evidence of faith and trust and belief in God, and that was accounted for Daniel's deliverance from the lions, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Here in this verse, we find that is the reason for Daniel's deliverance. We're told he believed in his God. Where is your faith? In whom is your belief? And what do you believe God for? Interesting things to ponder, and I trust that you might do that sometime today. Well, we're going to stop here and just note that when Daniel was brought up out of the lion's den, all of his accusers were thrown in, but not just them themselves. Their children and their wives were also cast into the lion's den. And I'm not sure at that point in time that maybe wives wished they hadn't been married to these presidents and princes and governors. But they all went in, and even before they got to the bottom of the den, the lions were on them and tore them apart. The last part of the chapter, verse 25 down to 28, is Darius's new decree to all of his kingdom that men should tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall even be unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. What a great statement. And that's a decree that I think everybody could get behind, and particularly as the king put this together himself and signed it, that gives good direction for every citizen who were part, who was part of the Medo-Persian kingdom in that year. And we too acknowledge that we need to tremble and fear, that is respect and reverence, the God of Daniel. He is our God as well, the living God and steadfast forever. Daniel believed in his God. His faith in the Lord was steadfast. He had no disrespect for Darius, but he also was not going to stop his habit of praying to the Lord three times a day. He didn't do it out on the street corners or in public places. He went to his house, as he always did, looking out through the window facing Jerusalem, bowed on his knees, and he prayed. It was what he always did. Wasn't going to stop his habit of praying to the Lord three times a day. He faced the consequences, and God delivered his servant from destruction. What's the lesson to be learned here? A couple of points. Make habits of spiritual disciplines, things like prayer. Be consistent to do them. Don't just pray when you need something from God or when troubles come along. Pray regularly, and be consistent to do those things which are right in the eyes of the Lord. Make it a habit of your life so that when things come along to object to what you are doing, you can still carry on and do those things in a good spirit, in a trust, in faith in the Lord Jesus. If all of a sudden people start doing things contrary to what a law may be, it could be suspect as to what their motives would be. But with Daniel, he prayed all the time, three times a day, all of his life, I suspect. It was his custom and his habit. And so we need to learn to make habits of good spiritual disciplines and to be consistent in doing them, even if the law of the land says different. Then we also need to trust God in everything and praise him when he brings deliverance. We are not at a point yet in our country where the governing leaders are telling us what to preach or not to preach, or to what not to pray, or anything about prayer to some other deity than the Lord Jesus. It may come someday, as we are in the last days and perilous times have come. So let us be sure we are doing those things that are pleasing to our God and maintain our habits and disciplines even in the face of contrary laws. And we'll trust the Lord to deliver us, if it be his will, or that he might take us home to be with himself. Either way, God is glorified, and we get to go home to be with the Lord Jesus at some point in time. So I trust this little chapter in Daniel's book has been a help and an encouragement for you, and perhaps given you some resolve, purpose of heart, to stand strong for the Lord, but in those things that you are consistently and habitually doing in your life for service for the Lord God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word and the opportunities it gives to us to bolster our own resolve in our service for thyself. No matter what the law of the land may be, we're not against laws in the land, except if they should try to move us away from honoring you, worshiping you, praying to you. But help us, Lord, to have these good habits in our lives of walking with you, doing what is right in your eyesight, to pray to you and to you alone, to trust Christ for our not only our salvation, but for our sanctification, our spiritual walk day by day, for strength to stand for you and to be steadfast. Thank you for the example of Daniel. Thank you for delivering him from the lion's den. And may his example stand us in good stead even in these days. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, beloved, that's it for today. Lord willing, we will see each other next Sunday. Just watch your email for announcements that we'll send out after we hear what Premier Ford is going to do in reopening the province again, and we'll plan to be here next Sunday unless something else happens. God bless you all. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll see you soon. We are dismissed.